In our reading, if you're in participating in the reading through the Bible, I know we had maybe some of the Bibles came in a little later than we would have liked, or all of them did. But in the early reading, the early daily reading, we find two passages of scriptures that we're going to reference today. We're going to look at a couple, and then we're going to look at one, a passage from the book of Romans. But our first passage is from the book of Psalms, chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. And then shortly after that, we'll look at Proverbs. Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. And if you have one of those, one of our Bibles that we're starting to read through, it's you're going to find that on page 3 in the new Bible to help you out with that. And I'm actually going to use that because in our reading, in our daily readings, it's got an Old Testament, a New Testament, but right in between that, it's got Psalms and Proverbs. And they're on page 3, if you have that Bible. The verses that we're going to read to you are right across from each other, from Psalms and Proverbs. So let's read Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 to begin. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now let's turn over. If you got one of those Bibles, it's going to be in the same place, but we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. One more time. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. May God have his blessing to reading of his word. We'll move to the Romans passage in a little bit of time. We're just going to stay with these two right now. And as we contemplate those two verses, you can maybe pick up how that they are related together. In Psalms, it talks about who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And you contrast that with verse 7 of Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Whose counsel do you walk in? What do you meditate on day and night? Is your delight in the law of the Lord? Is your delight in the Lord's way? Or in man's way? Especially on social media, it might seem like everyone has an opinion, and a lot of people might have an opinion, but it seems like a lot of people like to share. But when you think about it and you start looking through there, you'll notice that sometimes it's just a couple people or three people, they're just really loud. Now, what's that mean, being loud on social media? It's not their voices, it's the content or the sharpness of their words or how they come across. And when we go to make our decisions and consider how we will approach problems, you may be the type that is very independent and do not care at all what other people think. And that might be a blessing in some cases, to not care what anybody thinks. It also means that you could be so stubborn that nobody can tell you anything, and you're not open to learning at all, even from God. But you could be at the the other extreme where you care a lot about what other people think about what you're doing and how you handle situations. And that can be a bad thing because it can be very stressful. But Scripture tells us here that blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we have to begin there. Is the counsel that you are leaning on from the ungodly or fellow journeyers on a path towards God? Sometimes people are great orators and can tell a good story and deliver a well-meaning speech, but they do not necessarily live what they preach. I have lived in different parts of Ohio, and I have lived in Mississippi. And in my living in different places and working in different places and different settings, I have seen where people talk a good talk. And they might talk about what happens on Sunday, and they might do a lot on Sunday, but in their daily life, they don't walk the walk. There is a famous speaker out there. I won't name the name, but part of the civil rights movement at one time. And it's been said they were known for cheating on their wife. It's very difficult for me to grasp hold of that. How can you be living a life dedicated to God and preaching what you're preaching and have a reputation of cheating on your wife? And I don't know that it was one time or multiple times. I'm just not sure. But that's just one example. But there's others, and maybe you've seen, they talk a good talk, and when there's a crisis happen, they'll talk about things, but their daily lives don't seem to be consistent with a godly life. I would think then you should be careful of how much weight you put in their advice. Be careful how much weight you put in what they think. They might call you stupid, and they might say that you're not with the time. They might even say that you're hateful. But if your choices are based off of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it says. Are you in fear of the Lord? Now, what does that mean? For some, fear of the Lord means fear. You should fear the Lord if you're walking against Him. He is a great and mighty God. But sometimes that word is also interpreted to mean awesome. Great awesomeness. He's so powerful and awesome. There's great and mighty respect. I think there's both of those. You should have a certain level of fear and concern. You don't have to walk in fear of God that He's going to unjustly do something like a father that you're fearful of because He might beat you, especially when He's drunk. It's different than that. It's a great and mighty and awesome respect for God that you want to please Him. But there is a part of God, you don't want to get against him. But that fear of the Lord, that position of he's awesome and he's fearsome and he's all-powerful and he's all-knowing, that is the beginning of knowledge, because you've opened yourself up to recognizing who God is and you want to hear from him. That's where to begin in knowledge. Being willing to be outside yourself, that you know everything yourself. And mankind as a group sometimes puts their wisdom in front of God. And chapter 1, verse 7 of Proverbs continues, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." Despise wisdom and instruction. It would seem that they would despise those things that would go against their self-righteousness, their self-knowledge, their puffed upness on who they are. Especially when it's like we man, or we as a group, maybe their particular group, know more than God. And you that follow God and his stuff are just stupid. You're following these things, these fairy tales. But we know that he's real. We know that he's real. And we fear God. We go back to verse 2 of chapter 1 of Psalms. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." What guides you daily? What is your thought pattern? Is God ever present in how you respond to people? Is God ever present in how you approach problems? Is God ever present in how you make your decisions and look at things? It's very easy with the bombardment of other things upon us to remove God from the picture, to set him aside in this worldly wisdom that's out there. A barrage of voices, and even if it's just 2 and 3, they seem very loud. But remember that God is all powerful. But when he spoke to the prophet, he didn't come in the earthquake and the loud noises. He came in a still small voice. And if you really want to get close to God, be willing to listen for the still small voice. But there are times he comes as the burning bush. He comes like he did Paul, blinding him, wakening him up. But we need to respond in those times, seeking God. And so as you look at things and decisions and contemplate how to process things that are going on around you, be careful not to put too much credence in the counsel of the ungodly. They'll talk about science. They'll talk about their wisdom. Do you not think God understands science? God understands technology? He does. He does. So let's turn now to the book of Romans. Chapter 1, and we'll begin with verse 18. Romans, chapter 1, verse 18. We talked about the counsel of the ungodly. We're going to read a couple, I guess it's more like 5 verses, but we're going to jump over a couple. In Psalms 118, "For the wrath of God is revealed," excuse me, in Romans 118, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They hold it down. They might fact check it. As their facts go, they think it's wrong. They suppress it. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't have the fear of God. They're about themselves. And they might be loud, or they might be boisterous, and they seem like they're everywhere, but don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's go ahead and read verses 19 through 22. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Some people will say they see God in nature. Well, yes. God's powerfulness, his creative power, is in nature, but that's only part of him. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. They didn't acknowledge who God was. There wasn't the fear of God. They didn't glorify him. They can see God in nature, but they don't want all of God. They only want the part of God. So they're not grasping or accepting a true fear of God. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Since their foolish hearts were darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. We don't want you to walk in the counsel of the ungodly because they're fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. They made themselves images, things that they worship. They tried to change God into their image. Not try to be like God and personify who God wants us to be, but they try to make God in something that they control. Maybe it's an idol that they can move around. Or the shape and form they wanted him to take. They tried to understand God as a man and not God as divine. They put mankind limits on God. Thinking, oh, that makes no sense. But it makes sense if you understand him as God. That he's beyond our capabilities. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. So their hearts were darkened. But then God gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. When you step away from God and pull back, you start to realize how much we depend on God. And when they reject God, then they fall fully into their foolishness. And God gave them up to uncleanness. In the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. See, there's this progression. You reject God for who God is. And then you start looking around and you see things that become enticing, and you think that they're wise and knowledgeable because everybody else around you is saying so, and so now you fear God less. You don't put so much respect in God. And so you start on a downward decline. God gave them up to uncleanness. Verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Served the creature. I don't know if that means served people and elevated people, or the elevation that has taken place of animals. Animals have been elevated to the level of people or beyond. I think some people are more concerned about preserving the life of certain type of animals, baby animals, or the eggs of certain types of baby animals. They're more concerned with that than the life of the unborn. They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They've got it out of line. It pushed God off. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. That's homosexuality. It's the lesbians. It's the men and the women. It's that. He gave them up to these vile passions. They just kept on going down a path. Nothing's going to stop them because they're wise. And everybody else around, they're listening, but they're not fearing God. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. They chose a path, and so God let them take it. When you remove God from the picture and you remove His wisdom, you remove His truth, your sinful nature just basically just takes over. And if you push godly people out of your life and only focus on the ungodly people, it just snowballs. You hear how God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to vile passions. And they didn't even like to retain God in their knowledge. So He gave them over to a debased mind, to those things which are not fitting. Verse 29 and continuing. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. They know that it's wrong. They know they shouldn't be doing it. They do it anyhow. And not only that, they approve of other people that are doing it. Totally devoid of God. We've had these two extremes. As we begin the new year, focus more on God and not less. Focus more on receiving the instruction from God through His Word, through prayer, through listening to godly people. not based on what they say, not on how good they can give a speech or a delivery or how smooth talking they are and how many thousands of people are in some auditorium listening for what they want to hear. But start with the fear of God. Your awesome respect for God, how worthy He is of your worship. Start there. And maybe in the back of mind, which they should have, there should have a fear of God, of walking against God, because if you're going against God, you're going down this path that I described. But rely more on God and not less. Rely more on God and less on the naysayers, less on, it might be family, it might be friends, it might be coworkers, it might be people on your social media, it might be the news, and they're bombarding you. Stop doing this, stop doing that. And start doing something you know is wrong. They're going to try to tell you how to look at things, how to approach things, how to respond to things. But they're not godly people, so don't listen to them. Listen to God. More about God. Yeah, but everybody else, yeah, but if you're with God, you're not alone. Elijah thought he was alone when he was out there. He thought there was no other people, and God says, I've held back, I think he said, 400 prophets that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not alone. You might feel like you're not alone. You are alone, but you're not. But I'd rather be alone with Jesus, alone with God, than with the multitude, because when he comes again, and when there's a judgment, every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Let us trust in God. Let us be fully invoked in Him. Have Him on our mind as we go through our daily lives. Let's be standing together. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us and those who hear this message, that we would have a healthy fear of you. Oh, for God so loved the world. You loved us so much. Oh, that Jesus, you came and you died for us. May we have such an awesome respect for you. And man, in the back of our mind, there is a fear of judgment. But Lord, that motivates us maybe to avoid the evil. But we trust in you. Help us to grow in our trust in you. And would your Holy Spirit witness to us that we're on the right path? Help us to not listen to the noise, because we see the path that they're going down. And they start removing you from their knowledge, and they go deeper and deeper and deeper. Wake them up. Lord, help us not to listen to that noise. To not be in the path of sinners. To not listen to their foolishness. But the Lord, to be strengthened and encouraged in our walk with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.